All right. All right, I got a couple of things to share with you, and then we'll be out of here. It's been a good night. Yeah. Really good night. Really enjoyed it. Yeah. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Well, I can't tell you Mexico's safe. St. Corinthians chapter 8. We start reading in verse 16. Tonight I want to just mention a few things, just a few observations about being a trusted messenger, because I think that's what we are, right? Sometimes we say that we are all missionaries, and I understand what we're trying to get at, right? Because, you know, the world is our mission, right? Our mission field, and I understand that. But some do go, and they are the missionaries, and they are chosen, you know, by the Lord, and the church gets behind them, and they go out to another country, and, you know, Lord willing, we'll just die out there, you know? But that is the missionary. But we all have a job to do. We all are messengers, right? We all have a message. If you are a born again believer, you have a message to tell, and you cannot be silent. It's not possible. It's not possible. If you are a born again believer, it's not possible to be silent. You have to tell the world about this news that you've heard, right? You know what the job is now as a believer? We have to keep reminding ourselves and keep us in that first love, because sometimes it just gets away from us, right? We lose it. We forget, or the story becomes a little bit old for us sometimes. And it's not, it's a great story. It's a great story. It's been told for more than 2,000 years, and it's an awesome story. Nobody has a better story than the story we have, right? Jesus Christ saved our souls, right? I'm just so glad. You know, before I continue, I want to thank all the little kids, the youngsters, oh wow, is a butterfly? Okay, squirrel. I don't know why. The other day I was preaching and something happened in the parking lot and people were running around, and I'm the worst person to get distracted. All right, here we go. All right. You want me to step on it? All right, so, oh man. So we're gonna be here in chapter 8, verse 16. Let's just read it. Oh man. Okay. Oh man. Well, I was saying, I want to thank all the young, you know, my granddaughters, they love coming up here. They love, they look forward to being with all the kids, and thank you for taking care of them. I know Lauren appreciates that. She can be in all these meetings and just be distracted, or not be distracted by her children. They're just out running around. Thank you for that. I know probably most of the kids are already asleep, but, anyways, verse 16 says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. You know, talking about trusted messengers for the glory of Christ. You know, I want to thank the Lord, for being part of a church, being part of a group of believers that really has taken this commission to heart. It's incredible to me how many years we've been on the field, in Mexico for 32 years. I've lived more time in Mexico than I've lived here. It's incredible. Incredible. I still don't talk like a Mexican, but you know, I definitely look like one. but you know, it's my home. It's a place where, you know, I work. It's a place where we've seen, people come to Christ, lives changed. It's just amazing to me. And I know the Polish people can say that, you know, living in their beautiful country with no dangers, you know, they can say the same things, you know, about where they work, bringing people to Christ. That's what it's all about. You know, and I think, you know, I thank God for people who have surrendered their lives, to the will of God, you know, and they try to live lives, you all, we try to live our lives above reproach. Why? For the glory of Christ. Yeah. Right? And when I say above reproach, I'm talking about we're not perfect, right? But we live our lives free from blame. Man, that should be our goal, right? Free of blame or guilt, right? Not having any valid reason for criticism in our lives. Why? For the glory of Christ. Amen. Man, we don't want any open scandals. Man, it's just so many people, different places, different people, you know, preachers, that it scares me sometimes when we hear of people falling by the wayside, right? And into serious sin. People that God has used tremendously. You know, people that I've listened to on the radio or on the internet or people I've known, and then all of a sudden we hear something horrible. Man, we live we try to live above reproach. We need to have a trusted reputation. You know, and there's three guys here in this story that Paul goes and he's talking about three men. One is named and the other two are unnamed, right? He talks about Titus and he talks about the brother and then he talks about our brother, right? Have no idea who the brother is. We have no idea who the other guy is, right? He just calls him brother. There's three people here, you know? I can relate to the guy, the no-name guy. Right? I like being that note. You know what? When I leave this world, hopefully a long time from now, because I like serving the Lord, right? But when I leave, I'd like to have that reputation, a reputation that John loved the Lord. And he loved serving him. You know, sometimes my granddaughters ask us about my father-in-law. They see his pictures and where is Grandpa West? Well, he's in heaven, you know, and they want to ask, you know, how was he? You know what I tell them? He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. I mean, he was a lot of things. He was a lot of things. You know, sometimes he bugged us to know, well, bugged me to no end, right? But you know what? He loved the Lord. His life was Christ. He wanted to be so much. His hope was to be with him for eternity. And that's exactly what he's doing right now in eternity. You know, I'd like to have that thought, you know, my grandkids, when I'm gone, telling their kids or their, man, you know what? I'm part of a church who blah, 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 and they love Christ and they send out the gospel. And what do you, you know, how were you growing up? Oh, we lived in Mexico and my dad preaches the gospel and he did this and he did that. That's what I would like.
Am I sure?
You know, it's funny. I know right now they don't understand exactly what me and Matt do. You know, they have a lot of questions. You know, last year when Matt was traveling back from New York, they stopped over at a friend's house there in Houston. And, I called them up. I said, hey, can my daughter stay there? And they said, sure, no problem. And this young lady is a family friend. And I had the opportunity to witness to her, to talk to her about Christ. And she got saved. And I even baptized her in the Gulf of America. And, so I called her up and I said, Hey, Matt and Lauren are going to be, you know, coming by, and they stayed there and they got to know her, and she was talking to my granddaughters and she knows what we do, right? And so she was talking to them. She said, what does your daddy do? And expecting them to say, oh, he preaches. And Cosette goes, my daddy doesn't work. And she was like, no, wait, your daddy does work. He preaches like, oh yeah, he preaches the gospel. They don't understand exactly what's going on. One day, hopefully they will understand more. But let me tell you, we need to strive to be trusted messengers, right? And one day they will. Matt won't have to convince his kids that he's a preacher, right? Matt will not have to convince his girls that he loves the Lord, right? They're going to see it. They're going to experiment with that, and it'll be crystal clear. But because of a good reputation, you know, Titus is the only guy here named, right? But you know what? To be a no-name person isn't a bad thing, right? Here in chapter 8, Paul had a huge amount of money. A lot of money by the Macedonians. You know who gave that money? We have no idea. A bunch of no-names, right? They got together. They saw the need, right? They saw the need that other people had. They put it in their heart to gather all this money and give it to Paul. And they pleaded with him, please take it.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned the other day, and you've read the story, Paul knew their situation.
Right.
And Paul took it. Unapologetically, he took it. Right? These people had a zeal and a love to do or to be good messengers. You know, to be unknown. I know we all like to be known somehow, right? I'm not crazy about this. I know, you know, for somebody to remember your name or whatever. I mean, to me, when I started reading the commentaries and, you know, people probably a lot smarter than me, they said, oh yeah, he was actually talking about Timothy, and he was talking about, and they started naming these people about who these brothers were. I said, I don't think so, you know? Otherwise, I think Paul would have just said, hey, you know, Titus and Timothy, and I really think that he just purposely, they were just unnamed. You know, for whatever reason, I have no idea, you know? Maybe it's lots of times like when we come in here, right? You don't know everybody's name. But it's so good when you know they're saved, you can just say, hey, brother. Right? Right? I mean, maybe that's what happened. Maybe Paul just knew them from afar, right? Because the amount of people that were around Paul all the time and all the workers that were constantly wanting to be involved in the work, impossible to know everybody's name. Maybe he had a nickname for him, you know, hey, it's Big Ears. I don't know. But instead of calling him Big Ears, he said, the brother, right? We have our brother and we have this brother, right? But the point here is they were trusted messengers. You know, in verse 16 and 17, he talks about Titus. And he says, Titus, right here, he said, thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus. For he indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. You know, I think that's a quality that you and I should, not only should we have that quality, but we should not forget that we should have that quality, right? Earnest care, it says here, right? And what does the word earnest mean? It's serious, sincere intention, right? A purpose, a deep interest. You know, when I came to this church, lots of people had a deep interest for me, right? A lot of people before I got saved were praying for me, right? Some were even praying that God would just get rid of me, right, Brian? Some people, I'm sure glad Lord don't listen to Brian. But most of the people, they had an earnest care for me, right? They even allowed me to even participate in the open meetings. They allowed me to participate with them to pass out tracts. They allowed me to grow in Christ and earnestly cared for my soul. Man, I remember, and I know you don't remember, brother Steve, but I remember right before I surrendered to the mission field, a few months before, I was thinking, man, I know God wants me to do something. I just don't know what it is. So I got a big idea in my head, right? Because I was, you know, I thought this is what God wanted. God wants me to be a deacon, right? So one day I show up and I see Brother Steve there and I say, hey, Brother Steve, I said, I think God wants me to be deacon. And he turns around and looks at me and he says, no, he doesn't. And takes off. Earnest care. That was beautiful. I loved it. He was sincere. He wasn't joking. You weren't, do you remember that? He wasn't joking. He was sincere. I'm telling you, that was the best thing that, you know, sometimes you don't know what you want and somebody tells you, you know what, that's not your gift. Or you know what, you shouldn't be thinking that way. Or you need to change this. You know, that is a blessing. Don't get upset. Don't get mad. God has something for you in particular. And man, I am so glad I'm part of a church that allows growth. Right? To a bunch of no names. Right? You know, Titus here, when you go down and to have earnest care and actually love people, I mean, it's hard to love people. Right? I mean, these New Yorkers know they've been to a lot of places. Right? On their mission trips, right? You've been with us in Mexico. Sometimes when we go and we preach down there, they're not lovely. Right? Sometimes they tell us stuff. Sometimes they throw us in jail. Sometimes they kick you out of the country. For what? For preaching the gospel? Sometimes they don't appreciate me taking a few hours of my day and going down to the street and preaching the gospel and trying to convince them that this is a much better way.
Amen.
Right? They tell me stuff like, you really ought to get a job. I said, man, this is a good job I'm doing. Right? No. You're only doing this because they pay you. Really? No, they can't pay me enough to endure this. Right? Being unappreciated. But you know what? We need not forget that God has put something in us. Earnest care for people.
Amen. Thank you,
right?
Lord.
And I think that was something immediate for me. Right? Come here, get saved, and I understood that I was placed in a body. Not only did they love me, and I was nothing, less than zero, they loved me enough to witness to me, to preach to me, to give me the gospel, spend time with me, grow me up in the faith. Now it's my turn, right? Now it's my turn to show and express this earnest love that we should have for the people. You know, in verse 17, he said, he indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. You know what? Nothing was going to stop Titus. He said, if they don't send me, I don't care. I'm going. I'm going to do it. I love this church. I love these people. I want to do the will of God. And it doesn't matter. You know, he had initiative. You know what? I'm glad I'm part of a group of believers that allows us to have initiative and serve in Christ, right? You know what? If you want to stand out on a street light with the scripture sign, I don't think anybody here is going to tell you anything, right? They say, okay, you want to do that? You go do it, right? You want to go pass out tracts, door hang, whatever you want to do to get the gospel out. I think you're going to have people, the elders here, the pastors here are going to get behind you, and we're going to be praying for you. You know? Scripture signs, I love scripture signs. The first time I saw that was in New York. At first I thought, this is silly. Why don't they just preach? You know? What are they doing holding up scripture signs? That's ridiculous. And then when I went there and I saw it, you know, people cannot not read a Bible verse.
Amen.
I'm looking at it and people are like, nah, I don't want that track. And they're walking and they're reading it. It's like they literally refuse to talk to you, refuse to give you a track, but they cannot not read it. Oh man, I'm starting to look at it. I said, look at that, you know? And the verses they pick are great selective verses, you know? I can't see a person leaving and reading that and not thinking about it throughout the day. It will accomplish what God wants.
Amen.
Man. The scripture, get it out. You know, let's talk about the other two, the brother and our brother. No names, and they didn't count their lives dear. You know, I think it was last night when Lauren was speaking, she was talking about there in this book, in chapter 11, where Paul talks about all the perils. All the risks, all the problems. You know, these guys, when they volunteer, these two no names, when they volunteer to take this money and deliver it, you know how risky that was? Because Paul says in all those perils, robbers. There were thieves out there. And not only thieves, but man, could you imagine? I don't think that the world or the people around there didn't know that they were sending this money. You know, because I mean, people talk, right? I mean, how are you going to hide a whole bunch of money? Especially in that day. I think it was a real problem. I think it was a real risk. I think possibly they probably a thought ran through their minds, I might not make it back. But God's going to protect me, right? When I go to that dangerous country of Mexico, not that safe one in Poland, but that dangerous one over there in Mexico, when I go there, I think God's going to protect me. I think God is going to allow me to run my course. And the day he says, come, it's going to be over. It's going to be done. You know, that's a thing. Lots of times, especially when we're traveling, that's what I think. Lots of times, thinking, okay, Lord, you know where I need to get to, right? In a couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a big group from Puebla to Guanajuato for youth camp. They're going to have, I think Ephraim said, he has right around 70 kids, signed up already from different parts of Mexico. There's going to be a lot of kids traveling. I tell the Lord, we got to go to this camp. You got to help us. You got to keep us safe.
Amen.
And you know, the Lord's going to do it.
Amen.
You know, I just have faith in that. Here, they didn't count their lives dear. And in verse 18, look at this one brother. It says, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. You know, whatever he did, whatever this guy did, he did it for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, this guy, whatever needed to be done, he's the guy I think, I picture him, he's the guy when someone says, we're going to have a work day on Saturday and we're going to stuff all those bags to hang on the door. I think it was this brother. Hey, yeah, we're going to publish the gospel. I'm there. Right? No name. A nobody. But he gets involved. Someone says, hey, we're going to go down to the Alamo. We're going to go down to the downtown area. We're going to go to the rescue mission. We're going to go here to preach. Hey, I'll go. I'll go with you. Might not be able to do it like you do it. I'm scared to preach. I'm scared. Man, I was scared. I was scared to stand up in an open meeting. Right? I remember telling Karen, I can't ever do this. This is no way. No way, man. And then in a few weeks, I was standing up. I was like, wow, this is crazy. What, you know, the growth. God grows you. It's incredible what the open meeting does. Well, that's a whole nother subject. But you know, some stay and some go. But we're all to be messengers, right? Why? For the praise of the gospel. Amen. That's the reason, right? We don't know this guy's occupation. You know what we know? He was ready to do whatever it took for the gospel. That's what we know. I think these men were content. I think these guys were content not to have their name mentioned. Could you imagine that? Paul saying, I thank God for Titus, right? That he put that earnest care in his heart. And those two guys are sitting there, okay, I'm next, right? Because I joined this group. He's gonna say something about me and the brother. He's talking about you, right? Oh, and the other brother. I don't think they cared. I don't think they cared. Why? It doesn't say. It doesn't say. Paul didn't say, man, these guys got upset, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. They were content. You know, we've all heard of great preachers throughout history, right? This one guy, and if you haven't read any of his stuff, he's pretty good. His name was George Whitefield. You know what he said? Got this quote. Let my name die everywhere. This guy was a great orator. I butchered that word, so I'm not, right? He was a good speaker, right? He could talk very well. He says, let my name die everywhere. Let even my friends forget me. If by that means the cause of the blessed Jesus may be promoted. Amen. Wow. That is what I think these no names, I think that's how they were thinking. It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. We've heard of the great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor. Right? Have you ever heard of Dixon Host? He was the guy that followed him. When Hudson Taylor left, he had like 800 and something missionaries in China. In all the provinces, 18 or whatever there was there. This guy took over. His name was Dixon Host. You know what his motto was? Live to be forgotten. That's what a no name is. We put Christ first, right? These meetings, we you know what? I think we've heard a lot of stuff this week. And I hope we've been moved by it so much so that we need to do some change in our lives. In verse 19, it said about these guys, about these no names, they were chosen of the churches. Imagine that. They're sitting there, they're serving God, they want to do something, but it didn't seem like they lifted their hand. You know, they didn't say, hey, you know what? We have to take all this money and we need somebody to help Titus and we need them to go. No, they're there. But the churches said, oh, that brother over there, that brother's a good candidate. Oh, and that other brother, send them. And you know what they did? They accepted. They went. My question to you, can God depend on you? Are you on board to do whatever?
Amen.
For the glory of God? What has God asked you to do this week? In verse 22, when he talks about our brother, it says there in verse 22, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. This guy was diligent, right? We had Titus, who obviously was a fellow helper of Paul, right? Paul left him in Crete, right, to ordain pastors. This guy was doctrinally sound. This guy was, people knew who Titus was. But these other two guys, he had the other guy who it didn't matter. He was going to do whatever it took for the gospel. And then you had this third guy who was diligent in doing whatever it took. You know, that's a pretty good team. That is a pretty good team. Have somebody who has the know-how, the experience on hand, teaching of Paul. And then you got this other guy says, just tell me what to do. As long as the gospel gets further out, I'll do it. I'm your guy. And then they got the other guy said, man, I'm whatever it takes. I'm diligent. I'm going to get the job done. Wow. What is it to be diligent? Faithful, steady, earnest, careful in the work, doing a job with constant care, focus, and with lots of attention, right? This is what happens. This is what we need. We need to be diligent. You know, if you're, and I know in this church, there's lots of people doing lots of things, right? I mean, just this week, the bathrooms are always clean. Yep. You notice that? The bathrooms are always clean, right? I mean, the grounds look good, right? The chairs are magically in good condition, right? All lined up pretty good, you know? So many people are doing so many things, and it's just unknown people.
You're right.
This is why God tells us in this book, I thank God for these people. Paul, thank God for this brother and this other brother. What are you doing?
Yeah.
The last thing of verse 22, don't miss this because this is what really got me. It says, but now much more diligent. For 32 years, we've been serving the Lord in Mexico. And for 32 years, faithful people have been diligent to keep us on the field.
Yeah.
Amen. That's incredible to me.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Brother Lindell, when I was sent out, the scariest conversation I ever had with that man. He tells me, John, don't you sell a thing you have. Take everything to Mexico. I'm thinking, oh yeah, okay. I guess he's thinking I'm going to get, you know, a nice place and he wants me to be all furnished. He says, don't sell anything. You might have to sell it to live. Because I'm promising you nothing. Wow, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, what did I do? Let me tell you, God has taken care of your missionaries, right? God is continuing to care for your missionaries, right? He's given us good health. I mean, look how healthy I am. I am healthy. God has been faithful to us,
amen,
allowing us to continue to do this work for so many years, 51 years. That's incredible. But you know what God is asking? To be much more diligent. Much more diligent in the earnest care that we have for the dying world. Much more diligent and take an initiative, because we know that God will have all men to be saved.
Amen.
Right? We know that He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we got to take that much more diligent and take that initiative to win more people to God. We need to be much more diligent in working to save more and be resolved to the idea that you're going to be an unknown. You need to strive to live to be forgotten. You know, you're probably going to be just remembered in your family. Right? Just think about the people who've already passed away. I know the recent people that have passed away, you probably think about them all the time. But there's a lot of people in my life who had passed away and I hadn't thought about them. I have forgotten them for whatever reason. But you know what we haven't forgotten about? Jesus Christ. And the reason why we have this commission, the reason why we have this work that we have, is because people died getting that gospel out and they lived a life to be forgotten. Because the one who's important is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be much more diligent to have a reputation like this guy did, whose praise is in the gospel. That should be our reputation. Lifting up the gospel. We live for the gospel. And I know it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people. They don't understand. People, I mean, my brother-in-laws, when I went down there, they're like, what are you doing? You know, people are risking their lives to come here and you're going over there. What is wrong with you? Well, for the praise of the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel changed my life.
Amen.
And if I could give the little I had to be used of God, that's what we need to be diligent in doing. Much more diligent.
Yes, ma'am.
Just to give our lives. You know, I mentioned, you look it up. You look up Hudson Taylor. He was an ordinary guy. He was an intellectual. He was just a person who loved God and loved this book. And he had a heart for the Chinese. He says, I'm going to go and I'm going to win them to Christ. Amazing. We need to be much more diligent in our reputation. We need to be diligent to continue being faithful, firm, and focused. We live in a changing world. You know, I thank you for your time. Thank you for, and really, I know we've been here, this is the longest night, but it's been good.
Amen.
Thank you for the testimony, Sister Cassie. Wow, that's just great. I'm glad to hear what God is doing. And hey man, it's a Friday night. You know you're going to go and stay up another 2 hours. Who cares? God bless you.
Amen.